and welcome to season 2 of 180 Degrees. For the next 8 episodes, we're sharing stories from people across Ireland working towards a cleaner energy future. We chat to the people who are making a real difference in the area of sustainable transport, home energy, and in our communities. We hear from businesses who are cutting carbon emissions, and we learn how energy research is shaping Ireland's future. 180 Degrees is brought to you by the Sustainable Energy Authority of Ireland and is supported by the Government of Ireland. Hello, I'm your host Louise Ryan, and joining me today is Owen Madigan from Waterford Insulation and Brian McIntyre from SEAI's Deep Retrofit Programme. In this episode, we will be looking at home retrofits through the eyes of a contractor. Owen is Managing Director of Waterford Insulation, where he has been delivering energy upgrades since 2009. Brian joined SEAI in 2017 to help develop the Deep Retrofit pilot programme and has been working in energy and sustainability since 2005. Welcome to you both, and thanks very much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me on, Louise.
Thank you very much.
There's so much for us to chat about in this episode, so I'm just going to get straight to it. So, Owen, you first.
Sure.
Can you tell me a little bit about your background and how did you end up in the deep retrofit space?
Okay. Well, Waterford Insulation started delivering insulation works to new build environment about 20 years ago. And in the mid-2000s, we embarked on retrofit, which was, I suppose, looking back now, fortuitous, because as the downturn came in 2008, 2009, it pretty much wiped out our new build market. So at that stage, we were firmly committed to delivering retrofit. And it quickly became apparent to us that deeper retrofit was where the opportunities lay. So before this call, I was actually looking back on how we delivered works in 2005 and how we compared them to how we're delivering this year. So back in 2005, we would have delivered two offerings, cavity wall and attic insulation. And today we're delivering up to 15 offerings to fulfill deep fabric.
And was deep retrofit a completely foreign idea at the time, Owen, or, you know, were people a little bit familiar with it?
It was new. Like, I mean, at the moment, like, everyone is familiar with cases where we bring contractors into a house to do odd jobs. The plumber comes in, the plaster comes in, the electrician comes in. And but now, like, with deep retrofit, it's kind of gone to a more sophisticated level. And now with SEI and government support, you know, this can only improve. The approach to retrofit, like, it's changed hugely over the years. The profile is rising, and I don't think there's any reason not to continue rising. At the end of the day, it's a niche industry within a general construction environment, and that brings its own challenges, to be honest. But retrofit is really only at the beginning of a long phase of required works, and its importance to the wider economy are only becoming apparent.
Yeah, and you mentioned their own kind of the support from government and SEAI. How else do you think the approach to energy efficiency in Ireland has changed over the last number of years?
I suppose the awareness has changed over the years. You know, we were just delivering simple measures 10 years ago. Now we're delivering multiple measures. Essentially, before the deep retrofit program, you know, there wasn't a holistic approach to delivering works in a house. So every tradesman that went into a house done his own job. So our involvement in the deep retrofit program, I suppose, made us aware of the interdependencies between these different deliveries. And we saw, like, I mean, there was a case here for us to get involved and kind of pull it all together and understand how the final product will be delivered to the homeowner.
Fantastic. And Brian, can you actually just mention a little bit, now that we're speaking about it, about the deep retrofit pilot, kind of what it was and what we hope to achieve out of it?
Yeah, like, Owen's experience there pretty much mirrors the country in terms of the evolution of energy efficiency. Like, we would have been doing individual measures or doing cavity walls and roofs, maybe a boiler upgrade. But that evolved then into, say, the communities program, where you'd have to put in a greater degree of measures, but it was based on that achieving a certain level. And then deep retrofit was about, as a country, we needed to upgrade our housing stock, because about 25% of the energy used in the country is in our homes. And in terms of the energy rating of our homes, it's quite poor. So we needed to understand what would a large-scale program that would upgrade our homes up to a very good rating. So in the deep retrofit pilot, it was about bringing homes from, say, a D1 all the way down to G, so the bottom half of the BER scale, up to an A rating. And to try and understand what was involved in that, both in technical terms, in cost terms, and things like that, all the different facets of deep retrofit and how that would be rolled out, and what were the barriers that we needed to address that we didn't necessarily understand technically, and how we would go about delivering that. And as Owen said, again, before it would have been a case of each trade would have come in and done his piece. But if you need to do an upgrade like to that level properly, you have to think of the house as a system, and like that, where all the pieces are interdependent on each other. So the deep retrofit, again, was trying to bring all that in and upgrade a portion of our homes in the country from, say, a D1 all the way down to G, up to an A rating. And for us then to try and understand what were the challenges, what were the opportunities, what did that look like, and how it could be used to inform policy going forward. So in terms of our policy under the Climate Action Plan, we're trying to retrofit 500,000 homes up to a B2 by 2030. So hopefully that's what the pilot will be able to do and to help on. So I suppose, on one of the things, you've been involved in the deep retrofit pilot. Would that have been your first introduction to that level of retrofit in terms of the scale of the energy efficiency measures? I mean, your Waterford Insulation has evolved over time to do multiple measures in particular homes, but just in terms of that scale of delivery, would that have been your beginning of in introduction to deeper retrofits?
Yeah, as outlined, like just very briefly, it wasn't our first foray. However, it was our first place where we had to pull it all together, and we had to understand how to design the right product for the house. That involved bringing the Berra guy in, and we had to understand how to scope the works, and we had to understand how to design those works, manage a homeowner's expectations, manage a program of delivery and managing quality. So it was the first time that we actually pulled everything together and packaged it as one product and sold it to the homeowner as one product, delivered it as one product to you guys from a quality point of view. So yeah, it was very informative in that sense, because it just forces to join the dots and make it all happen and pull it together.
Yeah. Are there areas that you would have had to upskill in or bring in new people or new backgrounds to try and help do that? Just from, say, the design point of view and actual delivery as well.
Yeah. So we did have to upskill. Like, I mean, in addition to frontline workers doing the trades, like doing the plastering and the heating and the window delivery and the ventilation, they all needed to be strengthened. But in addition, we had to look at our design team, so our middle management, our technical teams. So we had to look at surveyors, engineers, building surveyors, and quality assurance guys. So there was another tier added into our model, and we had to source them. And that's one challenge we have at the moment. Like, I mean, getting good quality people in that space is hard. And effectively, we're competing with the new build environment for those talents. So that was a new challenge for us. And it's, to be honest, it's still a challenge going forward. But look, it's a positive challenge at this point.
Do you think there's been an increase in people kind of developing these skills, Owen, in the last couple of years? Or do you think there's still a long way to go?
I think there is an increase in the level of people in the space. But I think we struggle. When I say we, I'm talking about the retrofit industry. Like, I mean, we're a niche industry within the building industry. So there's fantastic like career opportunities for people here. There's long-term career progression. There's defined paths of progression there for people. And we feel that we're competing with the new build environment for those talents. So the people are there, but we, as an industry, I think we need to focus on selling it more as a career path. You know, someone in their late 20s wants to stay in this space and not jump over and do the big construction jobs in Dublin. We want to have them down here in the southeast with a quality of life and still have a rewarding career and still make decent money. So all them opportunities are absolutely there, but we find that we're competing for those interests against the bigger guys.
Maybe you just need to sell Waterford to them, Owen.
I think so. That should be enough, though. But yeah, the sunny southeast, bring them on.
And so for homeowners listening to this as well, Owen, what kind of level of commitment is deep retrofit? And I do want to talk about maybe the costs as well. So Brian, come on in here as well.
Yeah, I suppose we talk about deep retrofit, I suppose, differentiate between the pilot, which is capital D, capital R, and then deeper retrofits, which are just like Owen is saying, is like pulling a whole package of measures to upgrade a house. It may be to a B2, it may be to a B1 or an A3. The pilot was to an A rating, so just to differentiate. If you're looking at, say, an example would be a three-bedroom semi-D built in the 90s, might be a C3 or D1 rating, that probably has some attic insulation, some wall insulation. And as a boiler, it's maybe 15, 20 years old. That could, you could be looking 10 to 15,000 to bring that up to a B2. If you, the other end of the extreme, then you might have a four-bedroom bungalow down the country built in the 50s, probably 160 square meters, heated by a range, little insulation, single glazed windows. You could be looking around 40,000 because you're looking at attic insulation, wall insulation, windows, putting in a new boiler and zoning and that kind of thing. But it really, look, every house is going to be different. Like that example of a semi-D is very specific. If you change it to as poor single glazed windows, you've another cost there to upgrade the windows. If it's got wooden floors, you're going to look at an additional cost there as well. So it really depends on a lot of different factors, like the house type itself, the starting point of the BER, and the different elements. So, I mean, it's just to give an idea of the magnitude of costs and how it can vary. But they're sort of ballpark figures that people could look at.
Perfect. And I suppose, I mean, it's getting quotes as well, isn't it? And just kind of doing a bit of investigation yourself if you are a homeowner thinking about this.
Exactly, yeah.
And so, Owen, as well, then, tell us a little bit about the homeowners that have come to you for deep retrofits. What actually prompts them to think about completely overhauling their home and the energy efficiency of their home?
Generally speaking, there's some kind of change at play in their lives, right? So there's a wedding, or there's a new house, or there's a growing family, or there's upsizing, or there's downsizing, or maybe there's a retirement on the horizon, and there's a desire to future-proof the house. So, like, when these people pick up the phone to contact us, they would have a basic understanding of what they want, or they would have a broad kind of picture of what deep fabric means. So we find that when they come in, conversations are very positive because they've already engaged with the concept, and we just have to then promote the individual aspects of that concept to them. My view is then, as an industry, we need to engage the rest of the market, like what I call the stay market. They own their own house for pretty much a long-term basis. They have no interest in moving. Maybe they don't need an extension, but they would benefit from a more efficient house. So there's a certain inertia in the market on that front, and that's somewhere that, you know, we'd be interested in trying to explore, and if we're going to hit our targets, that's the part of the market that needs to be, I suppose, engaged at a more meaningful level going forward.
Do you think people kind of in that situation where they're just in that house long term, that they kind of just become immune to the fact that maybe their home is cold and they're spending a fortune on heating it?
Absolutely. You know, like, I mean, part of the reason for upgrading is this rebound effect. So, like, I mean, you know, most people do it to save money, and money equation is there, no doubt. But a lot of people would do it for comfort levels, and people, they get used to a certain level of warmth. Like, I mean, one of our older clients, he spent much of his life in a cold house, and we delivered an A3 house to him. But, like, I mean, he didn't understand warmth until very late in his years. You know, and that was sad in ways, because this was a man who had spent 75 years of his life living in a certain way, and he could have been living in a more comfortable way, you know. So the comfort factor is huge. You know, a lot of people will pay even to maintain their utility at the same rate to have a more comfortable house. You know, like a lot of us would over the years, you know, we all make choices that from time to time. Do I leave the heating on, or we're going off on holidays, or I have to pay the insurance, or I have to pay a car repair bill? You know, we say, oh God, we'll cut it off an hour early. So those kind of decisions, you know, they visit all of us at some point, and they're the unspoken benefits that can come out of a deep retrofit.
Just on that, Owen, I mean, in terms of renovating your house, do you find it very difficult, or is it hard to sell energy efficiency to homeowners in terms of who may not necessarily have considered it for upgrading their home? Because it's less visible, it's less tangible, it doesn't have the aesthetic element that, say, a new kitchen might have, for example. Does that make it more difficult to sell? And to homeowners this day?
I suppose, like, we've two halves. We've people who get it and they move on with it and they're happy to engage. But on the other on the other side, we've people who won't engage. Like, I think Irish people have a mindset that presents maybe difficulties in when it comes to spending on items that are not as tangible. So, you know, they're happy, as you referenced, they're happy to spend on the extension because you can see it. They're happy to spend on the kitchen or the bathroom because it's tangible and it's visible and they can show it to their friends and neighbors and family. But they're unsure about installing new heating tech or ventilation. And I guess, you know, that's the challenge that we have and SEI have, for that matter, like how we as an industry kind of focus and help people to understand those benefits, both monetary and non-monetary. And that's, you know, that's where we're on the doorstep trying to convert people and let them understand the benefits of improved efficiency. Like even indoor air quality is it's not spoken about much, but it's a huge benefit from deep retrofit. You know, it's one of those kind of unsung heroes. We always talk about U values and thermal performances and efficiencies, but simple indoor air quality takes mold off windows, it takes mold off doors, and it gives a cleaner environment inside.
Yeah, especially considering, and we had this on one of our Facebook lives, that the we spend 90% of our time indoors.
Yeah.
And everyone's familiar with outdoor air quality, and it's been done talked about a lot for years, but we aren't as aware of the indoor air quality given how long we spend indoors. So that is, like you said, it's a great example of why that doing the upgrades make a difference.
For sure.
And the benefits of doing it.
Yeah, we need to sell that idea of the healthy home, I suppose, that comes with deep retrofit. And Owen, as well, there, given the scale of deep retrofit then as well, it's obviously a huge project and a huge undertaking. Do you find that you're kind of very involved with the homeowner throughout the project? Is there a lot of collaboration? Are they coming to you kind of looking for updates and input and that kind of thing? Or
yeah,
what do you think?
Yeah, there is a big involvement at the front end with the homeowner. At the end of the day, you've got to educate them on what you're delivering, and they have to see the merits then financially and just what we've discussed there. The non-financial benefits. And like from a contractor point of view, you know, that's a challenge. And I can see where some contractors might be scared away by that engagement, because it is lengthy, it is involved, but it is required. You know, deep retrofit is fairly new. It does require more input and effort on the part of the contractor to win the business. And in this environment, you know, things are difficult and contractors might feel that it's tough. It's tough running a business, but to invest many hours up front in a prospect only to discover that it might not proceed for whatever reason is difficult. So that's, again, an area that we'd focus on and try to streamline our approach to the homeowner. It's quite an important one, because you can invest much time before a job even turns into a job, and that might be, it might not proceed. So it needs to be managed carefully from the contractor point of view.
Given the level of the deep retrofits, where you're looking at the house as a whole and as a system, and we said already about the interdependency of different elements and that they're not just very separate pieces of a puzzle, there must be a lot more planning and coordination involved in those projects, and just in terms of timing and timing then that works with the homeowners, because like you take into account the homeowners as well and what the timelines work for them, but the timelines of organizing all the bits and pieces and the supply chain to get pieces on site. So there must be a huge amount of that planning coordination involves, and that then obviously means that it's bringing the capacity and the ability and the skill of being a project manager to the fore in terms of these levels of retrofits.
Yeah, without proper project management skills, you're lost. There's too much moving parts, there's too much technical requirement, there's programming of deliverables, there's quality assurance midterm during the job, there's O&M files at the end, there's QA. And then there's deliverables to the likes of SEI or whomever. So there's a huge amount involved. You know, a company must invest in proper project management skills and capabilities. And without this investment, it just won't work. And, you know, I think, you know, that's where a lot of contractors need to maybe strengthen teams. Because this is where we find it acutely affecting our business, but we're competing with the bigger building companies to get those quality people into our space. And we're all in the same boat in the subcontract, in the retrofit business, in capturing those talents. So yes, you're right, Brian, we do need proper project management there. But what I will say is, like, I mean, any guys who are looking for long-term prospects in this space, you know, there's not many industries that will show a 10, 20-year horizon of activity. we can see it here. So there is options there to bring those teams in, and that's only good for the industry.
And you talk about that that horizon in the distance there, Owen. Is there demand now for deep retrofit projects? How do you, as a contractor, how are you experiencing that at the moment?
Yeah, demand is there. It's complicated by cost and by level of disruption to the homeowners, or potential level of disruption. Like, no two houses are the same, and costs vary. So, like, as Brian knows, running a deep retrofit, like, there's huge variance between building types and fabrics and heating requirements and cooling requirements. So it is demanding. So, and that's an investment made by the contractor in getting the job to Brian's desk. You know, and that's, none of that is rewarded until we get the grants granted or authorized. So the demand is there. Homeowners would be looking at cost. They would be looking at time frame. They would be looking at levels of interruption. So, you know, personally, I think maybe structures might need to be looked at for allowing homeowners to incrementally upgrade. And if it's not feasible at one visit, preference is to do it all at one visit because it's the most efficient, economical way of doing it.
Sure.
But it's not always an option. So on that front, I think, I think there's things moving in the market to help us, but they would be, you know, they would be positives for us if they came to pass.
And Brian, I just want to bring you in there and talk about kind of from a government side and targets and how that might help to drive demand as well.
Yeah, the Climate Action Plan was published there last June. So that set a target to retrofit 500,000 homes in the country up to a B2 rating. And there was also then to retrofit 400,000 heat pumps to homes in the country. So it's a fairly ambitious target. That's 50,000 homes a year to be brought up to a B2. And obviously, just with the nature of the houses in the country, I mean, you're not talking a massive job for a home that's already, say, a C1 or a C2. But again, even within the G rating band, that once it's past a certain point, it's all G. You could go all the way down to Z in terms of some of the homes, and I know I've seen some of those as well.
Yeah.
So there is it's a significant job of work, but the targets are there. But we need to put all the other pieces in line with that as well to drive people towards that, to meet that demand as well. Because it's one thing setting a target, but we need to raise that awareness and have incentives in place for people to invest. Owen, just in terms of we've talked about the benefits for homeowners and looking at the targets and that kind of thing, but what do you feel the benefits of, say, the deep retrofit, for example, or deeper retrofits, just in terms of the extent of the works you're doing to your house? What are the benefits for contractors in that?
Look, there's absolutely increased opportunity for work there. The breadth of work and scale of work ahead of us is quite high in my view. So there's a lot of opportunity there. You know, as I said earlier, like, the consensus is there's a lot of work over the next 10 years anyway, maybe longer. So the retrofit contractors should be able to take that as assurance that there's solid pipelines there, build good teams, get the right engineers, energy surveyors in place, and offer those type of people good stable careers. We're not dependent on the ebb and flow of the new build market. You know, that will come and go. I think work will be reasonably local if market grows for all the contractors, which is quite important. So we shouldn't see good talent on these new motorways driving to Dublin each day for work. They should be able to relocate to the sunny southeast and other places like that.
Well, that's the true benefit.
Yeah, that's the true benefit, Louise, for sure. There's a huge digital revolution happening all around us, but like, that won't negatively affect deep retrofit. Like, it's a very labour-intensive industry, and tech can't supplant a plumber installing a heat pump or plasterers, EWI in a wall, or a building surveyor QAing a job, or BER guy going out to validate works delivered. You know, it's of its time now. It's local work, real work, good work, that should be, you know, pushed as much as possible. So it's a good news story from the contract point of view.
There's obviously a huge number of opportunities out there, as you've just outlined. I suppose I'm going to put this to both of you now. What are some of the challenges that are out there for deep retrofit in Ireland? Obviously, we need to reach that very ambitious target.
I would say access to finance. A lot of people want to go ahead, but just financial conditions, circumstances dictate that they can't. I think there's an engagement process that the government at government level needs to happen. to engage people more. In fairness, you hear more dialogue from politicians about deep retrofit in the last year or two. Sometimes the industry mightn't have had the funding to support that rhetoric, but I think it's happening now. So I think that's good, but it's still, there's still an engagement process to buy in the homeowner. I think resources are a big problem, both frontline and management level and technical level. We just touched on that a moment ago. And I think the ambition levels are quite high, but I suppose, you know, no one will ever die by being too ambitious. So
yeah, I think you've probably covered the main points there, Owen. Like you said, it's the competition for people on the ground to actually deliver them as well, because like there's a big challenge there in terms of the retrofit market, and even just on its own to try and meet those targets needs a lot of people. But that's in some places you're competing with the new build market as well for those people that you need to have in the industry, and as well the finance obviously is going to be a big issue, because I mean, even with grants, if you're having to spend 20,000, 30,000, 40,000 on your home to bring it up to, say, a B2 as an example, even with the grant, that still leaves you with a significant amount of money to have to pay at your end. And that upfront finance is a massive barrier. And it's something that will, and if we could address that, it would be a game changer. But also the awareness of, and as Owen touched it as well, like the awareness and engagement of people to sell the benefits of it. Because like I said, it can be difficult when it's not really an aesthetic or a very tangible, visible thing in a home. Like it's insulation, it's hidden behind the walls. It's not as nice as the kitchen because you're working a kitchen every day, or it's not as nice as a suite of furniture or extending the house, but it makes a massive difference to the quality of the house. It's just getting people to engage with that as well as the awareness side of things.
Absolutely. So just at this point, I happened to speak to Sandy earlier, who was one of your homeowners that you have completed a retrofit for, Owen. Luckily, don't be frightened. She did have all good things to say. So let's just go over and have a little bit of a listen to what she had to say about the experience.
So, Sandy, can you just tell me a little bit about your house, kind of what the style of it is and all that kind of thing?
It's a semi-detached house and it was built in 1954. And it was my partner's family home, and he inherited it a few years ago. And there was no heating in it. There was an old Stanley range in it.
Oh, lovely.
And that was it. that was great. But the rest of the house was cold. There was no heating, central heating. So we basically, when we took it over and when we decided to do it up, we felt that we needed a central heating system, at least. And then we saw a program, what was it called? Oh, EcoEye. Your man was talking about the program, the pilot project. And so we decided to try and get onto that. And the rest is history, basically.
So yeah. You obviously went from this completely unoccupied, freezing cold house with no heating system. So when it's all completed, can you just tell us a little bit about the transformation and what it feels like in the house now?
It's just totally different. It's a completely different house. Now, I never lived in this house before.
Sure.
My partner did. He grew up in this house. But I used to obviously spend time here when we came to visit his parents when they were still living here. And the house always had a good feeling, if you know what I mean. I always felt comfortable here, even though it was cold. It was never damp as such. I think the house basically well built. But I mean, the difference now, I mean, we don't even have to turn on the heating. It's just warm and there's no draft. And I'm originally from, I would be used to this kind of house.
to be
honest. But I've lived in Ireland for 20 years now, and I've been cold for 20 years, and I've been giving out about windows that didn't close properly and heating systems that didn't work and stuff like that. So to me, it's nearly like I'm back to what I'm used to, and it's just, I don't know myself, it's just brilliant. I love it. I absolutely love it. But we've only lived here for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. We've only just moved in, so it's still a bit of a work in progress, really. But just to be warm and not have to worry about being warm is just brilliant. And having hot water I mean, before I moved into this country, I didn't even know what an immersion was. And now it's just not enough to have to worry about, have I turned it off or should I turn it on, or how long do I, and why can't I get a bath full of hot water just like that? And, you know, so that's brilliant.
Yeah, so we can see there that Sandy spoke a lot about the warmth and the comfort that she's experienced in her home now after the retrofit. She can't believe that she doesn't have to, you know, have a hot water bottle while she's working at home, or just the coldness that you feel when you come back into the house. What are some of the other benefits of deep retrofits for homeowners? And I feel free to answer either of you.
I think Owen's touched on it already, I suppose. And it's from dealing with homeowners like Sandy, where you get that feedback after the fact. As I said, like, we look at the ventilation side of things and making sure you have good quality ventilation throughout the house and you've good indoor air quality. And considering how long you spend in the house, that's really important. And the comfort is massive. Everyone we've spoken to after the fact, or after a deep retrofit, has said, it's unbelievable. Like, it's night and day between what it was like beforehand and after getting it done, because you just have this, it's always the same temperature inside because you have a really good level of insulation. Your house is airtight. You've got good indoor air quality and it's just constantly, say, 20, 21 degrees. And you've no idea what temperature is outside because it's always the same inside.
Yeah. One thing you would see from the homeowner point of view is when they go to the dynamic of a heat pump, you know, a heat pump is lower operating temperatures, but it's a constant and they have constant warmth in their house. And people will always comment that the house is warm in the mornings. It might be, it's not really hot or anything, but it's very comfortable. So it's, and before they would have been used to spurts of heat and energy in the evening and then cold in the morning. But now they have a constant heat and constant comfort in the house. And, you know, people, when they have that, they realize what they were missing and they're happy to, they're delighted that they embarked on that road and delivered it. So that would be the overriding kind of non-money benefit we would see coming back from people.
Owen, actually one thing I'd love to ask you is, can you tell us about some of your favourite retrofit transformations, the ones that have stuck in your mind long after you've walked away from them?
For good or for bad?
Well, either. I suppose for the purpose of this.
They're all good. Look, the stories vary. Like, I recall one where due to planning permission delays and other delays, the job kicked off late in the year and we had to start works in and around the last weekend in November. And it was a big discussion on whether we do it. It was a big discussion on whether we do it after Christmas. So all the meetings each week started with whether the turkey would be served on the family table in the kitchen that Christmas. And it kind of started out as a running joke and a casual comment at each meeting, but it became quite serious as time progressed. And needless to say, anyway, we got the turkey served on the family table in the kitchen that Christmas. But it was quite a journey, quite a journey.
That's a Christmas miracle.
Yes, yeah, one of those. I suppose at a more human level, I kind of touched on it earlier, we had one elderly gentleman, you know, and, you know, he commented that he was beside himself with happiness and that he could watch his cowboy films until late into the night and still go to bed warm. You know, this man, you know, he had very simple requirements in life, never sought out anything from anybody. And late in life, he discovered that he did not have to live in a cold house. You know, like, that was, you know, it was great to hear that. It was kind of heartwarming and kind of made you stop and think about the, you know, why we're all at this every day. Other issues would be, you know, where you find, when you go into a deep retrofit, and people kind of forget about this, you invariably get involved in all aspects of the building. So you're going into every room, you're going into every piece of the roof. You're actually, there's no part off limits. So we found money buried in walls by kids and and kids emigrated and forgot about it. We've found rooms with archives that should be sent to the National Museum that they're so old and significant. And people don't know they're in the house, you know. But by and large, look, the overriding comment back from the majority of participants is the constant heat in the house. A heat pump will deliver at the lower temperature, as I outlined, than an oil or gas system. So, and that's a sea change for many people. And like they don't know themselves with the comfort levels that are subsequently delivered.
Yeah, and obviously there's the targets and there's the energy efficiency, but I suppose at the heart of deep retrofit is the home and the homeowner. So it's lovely to hear that. So I want to ask you kind of both now. So I'll go with you, Owen, first, or Brian, whoever wants to take it. What do you think needs to happen if we're to meet the government's target of bringing 500,000 homes to a B2 by 2030?
Hmm. look, the target is absolutely huge. It's essentially, in broad strokes, it's 50,000 units a year, it's 1,000 units a week. And at current levels, that's not possible. So I think the industry needs to grow out of its niche industry shell, and it needs to compete for the best talent in the country, right, and beyond even. The contractors need support from government on this. The delivery models need to be streamlined to enable contractors to deliver and ensure that administration doesn't choke the system. You know, this is quite important. If we're going to go for capacity or volume improvements, there's a lot of paperwork there. Brian, you know all about it. So the delivery model needs to reflect the ambitions of the volumes through the system. So there needs to be efficiency delivered into the paperwork side of it there. And I think selling the message to the public is key. You know, I think the message needs to be simple but effective. So I think that needs to be maybe more on point as time goes forward. And I think if the ambitions are met with the public exchequer funding, I think that message can get a bit more pointed and more direct as time goes by.
Super. Thanks, Owen. Brian, over to you.
Yeah, I think Owen's touched on a lot of the relevant points there as well. I think the finance one is crucial, because like to do that number of homes between now and 2030, and it's not even just like I said already, grants will address a certain amount of it, but it still leaves a lot of money to be paid by the homeowner. So it's not going to be just done by grants. It's going to need an overhaul or some financial mechanism that allows people to get it done, but not have to pay it straight away up front, that they can level out over time, that it makes it much more affordable for people to get it done.
Sure.
How that mechanism looks, I don't know. That's for, I suppose, the financial institutions to look at. But it's certainly something we will need to be addressed over time, or in order to meet that achievement.
We might get Owen, maybe. He might find some money and some walls for us.
You might if you want. But it's the other side of it. Like it's trying to get the financial package there to get it. But at the other end, as Owen said already, like there's no point trying to sell someone a financial package to buy a Ferrari if they can't drive,
yeah,
or they don't know how to drive. I mean, you need to be able to marry the two things together. You need to get people to have that awareness and understanding to acknowledge that this would make a difference. This would make a massive difference to their house, and why it would do it, and why they should invest in their home. They're investing in their home, and they're investing in their future and their kids' future to live in a warm, comfortable home. It's a massive thing for quality of life and well-being inside the house. So you need to sell that, and you need to sell why. And then the finance side of things is looking at the how, and then the elements like Owen said about the supply chain market and getting the right people into around the market. Because it's, as Owen referenced already, it's not about people going up the road to Dublin, because this opportunity is a nationwide opportunity. As every town and village in the country will have homes that need to be retrofitted up to B2s and beyond to meet the target. So there's opportunities all around the country for people with all those skills.
Perfect. Right, Owen, this one's for you. Last question.
Yeah.
What's your best advice for homeowners out there considering a retrofit?
Okay, so look, in the first instance, they need to contact a good contractor or an energy agency or indeed SEAI, do a little bit of background review on what they think they need. They need to be realistic about cost. They need to be realistic about time frame and realistic about levels of disruption. Is it going to be a live environment, or is it going to be vacated during the works? So they need to be very realistic about all of them, because generally a job might take a little bit longer than expected. It might cost a little bit more than expected. So they need to have frank discussions with their contractor at that point. And they need to understand how SEI work with their programs too. So, and after that, then they just look at, they need to sit back and let the works happen and be amazed by the increased comfort levels and reduced operating costs that will come downstream.
Fantastic, Owen. I want to thank you both so much for joining me on this episode. It's been a fascinating insight into kind of deep retrofit from a contractor's point of view, particularly. Thank you both very much.
Thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for anyways.
Thanks for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, then please like, share and subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening now. You'll find previous episodes on our website, seai.ie/podcast, along with information about our grants and supports. See you next week.